to the women's ministry for inviting me to be here today. And thank you for being receptive. I'm looking at how you're looking at me, and so I know you're receptive already. And as I attended Sabbath school and this entire service, so much of what I planned to say was already said. And I even thought, oh, I could have done it that way. Yes, that fits into my sermon. But I'm going to stick to what I planned. But if you were here for Sabbath school and you were here for the service, you'll see that it all connects. Thanks to the pastor. I think when a pastor allows somebody to stand in his pulpit, he might be a little nervous. But I want to thank him for having confidence and believing that, you know, I can do this. We'll see when it's over. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for being here for us right now. We thank you, Father, for your word and for all of the wisdom that you have, that you share a little with us. And so right now, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. And let the congregation be open. Help them to hear you. Hide me in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know from the introduction that I'm at heart a teacher. And what teachers love to do is give tests. So we're going to start with a test. And I'm going to ask, as with all tests, nobody talk. Don't share your answer. Don't give it away. And if you want to write your answers down, you can, but I think the test will be easy enough that you'll remember what you said for each answer. There'll be 10 questions, and at the end, we'll check our papers, even if it was just stored in your mind. So, the first question. There was a baby that was born on January 15th, 1929, to the King family. That baby grew up to be a dynamic leader, a Nobel Prize winner. There's a monument to him downtown Washington. He was a civil rights activist. The question is, please don't call it out. Everybody, your own answer. What was that baby's first name? Second question. There was a war in England that is called the 100 Years' War. It was between England and France. The question is, how long was, don't call out, no talking. How long was the 100-year war? Number three, anytime there is an airplane crash, if you're listening to the news, you hear them talking about looking for the black box, because if they can find the black box, they will have some information on what happened moments before the airplane crashed. My question to you is, what color? No talking, this is a test. What color is the black box? Number four, there's a very popular style of hat that is very, that's worn a lot in South America. It is called the Panama hat. The question is, in what country is the Panama hat made? Question number five. There is a type of ink It's used today mainly by artists, but at one time it was used for everything, for writing, and it goes back years. In what country was India Inc. first made? Question number 6. What color do bulls hate? Question number 6. That was question number 6. Number 7. How many senses do we have? Like the sense of sight and smell, those kind of senses. How many do we have? Question number 5. That is 8. Question number 8. And this is something that carpenters should know if you're in the building trades. There's a piece of wood that's called a 2x4. What is the measurement of a 2x4? Question number 9. Many of us rise very early, and we love to watch the sunrise. It's very pretty most mornings when the sun is rising. And as Adventists, we are always aware of what time the sun sets. But this question is a true or false question. True or false? The sun actually stands still while the planets rotate around it. True or false? The sun stands still as the planets and the earth rotate around it. Now, the last question is a little bit of a demonstration. I brought this little person, and I'm going to put this person right here. And in this paper, I'm going to cut a hole in the paper. And I can take this paper with this hole in it, and I can just move it right over the little person. Your last question, question number 10. This is a yes or a no answer. Is it possible for me to take this same size paper, cut a hole in it, that I could put it over any person in this congregation? And probably I'll ask this gentleman on the front row when it's time to see if I can do that. Would you help me? At the time. We'll see. But this is a yes or no question. Yes, I can do it. I can put it over him. Or no, I can't do it. Okay. Who thought the quiz was easy? Nobody thought it was easy? Oh, my goodness. Nobody thought that was easy. Well, who thought it was hard? Well, who's not listening to me? Who's paying no attention? Well, if there are 10 questions, a passing score would mean you barely passed if you got 6 right. Well, who thinks they passed? All right. I think you just don't want to. Let's check the answers. All right, now, as we check the answers, only tell me what you actually wrote. In other words, no changing your answer because we're checking. Only tell me what you wrote. So the first question, that baby born to the King family on January 15th, 1929. Somebody want to call out the answer? Who was it? How many thinks it's Martin? Okay, unfortunately, that baby's name was not Martin. The baby was not Martin. His name was Michael. And went now, but only check what you said. Now, don't change it now. When he was born, they named him Michael King Jr. But his father was so, so taken by the work of Martin Luther during the Reformation that Dad changed his name and the child's name. And so we know him as Martin Luther King, but he was Michael at birth. Now, the second one, tell me what you said, because now you're kind of nervous since you didn't know Martin Luther. So what did you say was, how long was the Hundred Years' War? What did you put in your paper? The Hundred Years' War was 116 years. 116. After 100 years, they decided to name it. It didn't end. They just named it. And they named it the Hundred Years' War. What color is the black box? It is orange. It is not black. If it were black, they wouldn't find it through all that rubble. They need to have something that's bright. Number four, where is the Panama hat made? In what country? What did you say? What did you say? I don't hear anything. All right. Probably some people said Panama. Probably. It's made in Ecuador. It's called the Panama hat because in Ecuador, there's a province called Panama. Just like here in Maryland, there's a town called California. Just like in Texas, there's a town called Paris. So in Ecuador, in the province of Panama, that the hat is made there. India Inc. And what did you put on your paper? What did you put on your paper? Well, somebody is calling out China. It's probably Egypt. India Inc. was probably made in Egypt, but they aren't positive, but they believe it's Egypt. But it's called India Inc. because when the Westerners traveled for trade purposes, that's where they found the ink. And because the Westerners gave it that name, it's even known today as India Ink. Okay, what color do bulls hate? Bulls are colorblind. The reason they respond to that red cape is the motion of the cape, not the color. But tradition says that the matador will have a red cape. How many senses do we have? Well, the psychologists and the medical profession don't agree on this one, but they say it is at least 8 and could be as many as 30. Because they count not just your sight, your smell, your taste, your hearing, and your touch. They include your sense of temperature, your sense of balance, your sense of fear. There's another sense, if you notice, well, probably this hasn't happened to us, but there's a sobriety test that police will give. They'll ask you to close your eyes and touch your nose. And the fact that you can close your eyes and touch your nose is a special sense that you can know where parts of your body are without looking or seeing it. But they're still discovering and naming, but at least 8, maybe as many as 30. So what is the size of a 2x4? 1.5 by 3.5. When the raw wood, the virgin wood, is cut from the log, it's 2x4. But after it's processed, it shrinks. And so when we go to the store as a carpenter to buy the finished piece we're going to use, And we asked for a 2x4. We're going to get a 1.5x3.5 piece of wood. Now, we know this. The sun stands still, true or false? And the planets orbit around it? Well, because you see the pattern of this quiz, so you're probably saying, well, I really think it's true, but it's probably false, and it's false. The sun doesn't stand still. The sun is moving while the planets are orbiting. So the whole galaxy is moving. So the sun is not just standing still. It's moving, and the planets are orbiting. Now, this last one. Can I cut this paper so that... Well, you should be saying true because everything else didn't seem like what it ought to be, right? Right. And guess what? I can do it. And so you're going to help me when I call you, right? Or I'll come down. And it's going to take me about a minute or two to do it. So here's my paper, the same size. And you're going to be singing more about Jesus, because that fits into what I'm going to say after I show you this. And you already sang that. And I said, they're singing my song. And so we're going to sing it again, more about Jesus. And you're going to keep singing it until I have a hole in this paper big enough to go over anybody. Where's the song leader? More about Jesus. To do with bridging the gap? What does that have to do with women's ministry? I like that little test. I really call it the easiest test you ever failed. I like it because it shows us how wrong we can be about things that we are so sure we know. Nobody would have questioned, we know this. This is so easy. Things that seem so obvious, things that traditionally we learned in kindergarten, things that every day we walk around so confident and so sure of ourselves. And that's where problems come, because I think I know it all. And you think you do too. And we're all wrong, all of us. We're making mistakes. And if we can be so wrong about these things, how wrong must we be about the deep spiritual concepts and spiritual understandings and the expectations that come to us through God's word? Just to know, just to start out knowing that we don't know it all. And I think about the generation gap. To me, if we're all wrong, there's no gap. It's not like I'm right and you're wrong and therefore there's a gap. We're all wrong. Not only are we wrong about so many things that we think we're right about, but God already told us we're wrong about this generation gap. You see, we say there are six generations living today. We say there's the ones from World War II who are called the Great Generation. And then we say after that, there was a generation before the baby boomers who were called the Silent Generation. That's my generation. And then you have the baby boomers. Then after the baby boomers, we have generations X, Y, and Z. And the Y, that's the millennials. That's the one everybody's talking about. And then the Z are the boomettes, who are the children of today. But God said there are seven. And he outlines how different generations have been from the time Christianity started. We're looking at generations today, but God said, look at them from the time Christianity started, and you'll see seven of them. He names them in Revelation 2 and 3. And the first one he calls Ephesus. He wrote letters to seven churches in Greece. But those churches actually symbolize prophetically what Christianity would be like from the time of the first generation of Christians down to the last generation of Christians. We are the last. And he says, we, all of us, whether we call ourselves millennials or baby boomers or Generation Y, he says, we're all the same. We don't have a gap. All of us think we know it all. That's what he says. We think we got it. I know that. And he says, but you don't. You think you need nothing, but you do. He says that you are blind and naked, but you think you have all the answers. And so while we struggle with each other, saying, you know, I'm the one who has the wisdom. And over here, a younger generation says, but you're out of touch. Society has changed. But God says, no, it hasn't. All of you who I call a part of the, not baby boomers, not millennials, I call you Laodicea, all of you are the same. You don't have a gap. All of you need to take away your pride. That was in Sabbath school, remember that? Take away your pride. Take away your arrogance. Take away your hypocrisy. And be the kind of person that I want you to be. What kind of person is that? What kind of person is that? I have been teaching the Cornerstone Connection for about 10 years now, and I love that Sabbath school class. That's for our young people, for the teenagers. And the Cornerstone Connection Sabbath school program is a 4-year cycle. So the students start learning about the Bible in Genesis, and then they go in 4 years, they study the whole Bible, and they get to Revelation. In the third year of the cycle, they study for a whole year Jesus. They learn more about Jesus, more about Jesus. Now, of course, the teacher learns the most. Anytime you're a teacher or you prepare for something, you learn more than everybody. And I've been teaching that class. I've done 3 cycles. I'm in the 3rd cycle. So I've studied Jesus. And Jesus didn't talk about the things that are separating what we think our generations. He wasn't talking about music. Except, because I wanted to be sure. Now I said, now I've studied this 3 times. I've been through this cycle. Is music really not there? So I called your pastor because he knows. And I learned one time, he and his disciples sang a hymn, but he wasn't talking about, now be sure the music doesn't have a beat. Be sure nobody's patting their foot. Don't get upset if somebody likes that solemn, quiet music. He didn't talk about that. He wasn't talking about dress. He wasn't talking about whether the tithe should go to the conference or whether it should be spent locally. He didn't talk about that. He did say, render to Caesar what's Caesar's and give God what's God's. He did not talk about should there be regional conferences. That's not the things that Jesus talked about. He talked about being honest. And it just comes across, he hates pridefulness. He talks about hypocrisy. When he cursed that fig tree, it wasn't for the tree. The tree's the tree. He was giving an object lesson to the people who witnessed it. That don't pretend you're something you're not. Don't have all these leaves and no fruit. And the fig tree, unlike other trees, the fig tree produces its leaves first. I'm sorry, it's the opposite. The fig tree produces its fruit first. It produces its fruit first. So the leaves come later. So when you see leaves, just full of leaves, then that tree has to have fruit. Some of our other trees, the leaves come first and then the fruit. So you can see a lot of leaves. It doesn't mean there's fruit. But the fig tree, to be boasting with all these leaves and there's no fruit, and he's talking about us. How do we walk around like peacocks? Thinking we know it all, ask me any question. I certainly know that January 15th, that was Martin Luther King. He doesn't want us to be boastful. He doesn't want us to be hypocritical. He wants us to show love and joy and peace and patience and faithfulness, kindness, long-suffering. That's the kind of thing he wants us to develop. And when we develop those things, the other things will come. When we get the principles right, then the application will fall in place. We get so caught up on the application before we even really understand the principle. How do you bridge the gap? You bridge the gap by becoming more like Jesus. Concentrate on him, what he taught, what he believed. And when we do that, the other things will fall in place. And I think it's easier for women. I just think it is. The way our brains are wired, the way we are born to be nurturers, I think it's easy for us to let somebody else be wrong if we think they're wrong and still love them and still embrace them. We don't have to correct every error. If somebody corrected every error in us, it would just, we just stop trying. If we keep our eye on the Son of God, we will be taking the right steps to bridging the gap. I want to end with a story. It's a story I heard some time ago, and I love this story. There was a single father raising his son. He was a wealthy father, and his wealth came a lot from his investment in art. He was a connoisseur of art. He knew what he could look at it and say, that piece has value. He had pieces of the grand masters of old, and he had art pieces from younger, more modern artists. But he always knew what was good. And that's where a lot of his wealth came from. Well, when his son came of age, his son went into the military. And while he was in the military, he was killed. He was killed saving another soldier. About a year after his son's death, the father had a visitor, and it was the young man that his son had saved. And the young man brought a gift for the father. He had painted a portrait of the son. He said, you know, your son wasn't just the person who saved me. We were friends. And he told me a lot about you. And he told me your love for art. Now, I'm not a polished, seasoned artist. I'm just an amateur. But I knew your son, and I was trying to capture the essence of his character. So when he showed the father the piece, the father loved it. He could see this is an amateur artist, but he could see his son in there. He could see that this man knew my son. He knew him because of just the way his head is tilted a little bit and just a little hint of a smile and the way the eyes gleamed. He loved it. He offered this young artist, any amount you want, I'll give you for this piece. And the man said, oh, no, I can't take any money for it. The father put it in a prominent place in his home. When the father died, he said in his will that all of his art and his entire estate was to be auctioned. The day of the auction came. The auctioneer said to all of the people who had come wanting to get a piece from this man who had just everything in art. So the auctioneer said, the first piece that will be up for auction is this man's favorite piece, and it's the portrait of the son. Well, the people said, that? Come on, nobody came for that. We don't want that. Come on, bring out the good stuff. The auctioneer said, I must obey what was in the will. And the will said, we don't move on until this piece is sold. So who will offer something for the son? No one wanted to give up any money for this because they wanted to save their money so that they could bid on something that they thought was much more valuable. People were looking at their watches. They were looking at the clock. They were getting impatient, patting their foot, murmuring, come on, come on, somebody take that, please, come on, so we can get on. And finally, a gentleman way in the back raised his hand. He said, you know, I didn't really come to bid on anything. I was the gardener, and I just wanted to see how it went. But I know how much the father loved that son, and I'd love to have it, but I didn't come with any money to auction. All I have in my pockets, I searched, and I came up with $10. Would you take $10? And the auctioneer said, $10. Will anybody make it 12? Can I get somebody to say 12? Nobody. 11. Will somebody give me $11 for the son? $11. No takers. 10.50? Can I get 10.50? $10. Going once, going twice, sold to the gardener for $10. And there was an exhale that came over the group. Whew, finally. Then the auctioneer started looking like he's packing up. And he said, okay, the auction is over. What? He said, oh, there was a secret clause in the will. And it said, whoever got the son got everything. Everything. When we get the son, when we embrace the son, when we can look in the face of the son and see what he did for us, when we are humbled by his love and his grace and his wisdom, we have all we need. We have what we need to bridge the gap. I would not stop or end without asking if there are people here today who really want to bridge the gap. There are gaps not just in generations. Sometimes they're in our homes. Sometimes there are gaps on our jobs, in our communities, even in our church. Maybe there's someone who just wants to say today, while the pianist plays something for our appeal, there's somebody who just wants to say, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to be more like him. I want to see his love, and I want to demonstrate his love in my life. I want to get rid of my arrogance and my pride. I want to realize that I don't know everything, but I want to be like Jesus. Is there somebody? Maybe you need special prayer. Maybe you want Bible studies. Is there someone who wants to connect with the church? You've never joined the church. You've never been baptized. But you realize this is the time of my life when I need to make a commitment to the Son. Is there anyone? Is there anyone today? Praise God. All heaven celebrates when one person makes a commitment to have a closer walk with God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you for this soul. And Father, there are others. They're working with you independently and privately. And they will also come forward at another time. Bless them. Thank you for showing up today. And help us to keep our eyes on Jesus to bridge the gap. In Jesus' name, amen.